Good morning, and it's the 4th of July, and so for anybody listening or hearing this from the U.S., happy Independence Day. Hope you stay safe, enjoy the day with family. And this morning we are finishing up the series on the God of All Comfort. It's been 8 sermons going through this. This is the last sermon in the series. The idea was from our Tuesday morning prayer meeting. I was writing down all the scriptures shared during the prayer time and was noticing a theme of being comforted by God. Obviously, that was the prayer for the last, during the last 16 months. We've survived these 16 months of COVID restrictions, of feelings of isolation and loneliness, and wondering when all this will end. When it does end, what will the new normal look like? So there's some anxiousness, some anxiety, some fear of the unknown. And so when we think too long on this, we get discouraged and overwhelmed, and that's when we turn to the Lord for comfort. And the scriptures that were shared show us how we were dealing with the stresses of the pandemic. And so this is the recap of the series. As you see, I am gentle and lowly. We looked at Matthew 11, 28-30. Then I am love from 1 John 4. I am your keeper in Psalm 121. In Psalm 139, God saying, I know you. I knew you from in your unformed substance. I knew you before the foundations of the world. I am your strength from Ephesians 3. I am trustworthy in Psalm 20. Last week was, I am your deliverer, delivering us from the domain of darkness in Colossians 1. And today, King David in his Psalm 27, I am your salvation. And God actually doesn't say anything in this psalm. It's David saying with confidence that you are my light, you are my salvation, you are my stronghold. Each of these scriptures show how God is comforting us. And today's text is not God telling us how he is comforting us, but it's the psalmist declaring with confidence what God has done for him. Yet he continues to pray to the Lord for the comfort that he needed. The ultimate comfort is that God is our salvation. We can have no other salvation but through the Lord, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can have confidence in our salvation and eternity in heaven. So you can just see how the psalm is broken down there, the different points for this morning, beginning and ending with confidence in the Lord, and the middle section being prayers, the desires of the heart, and seeking the Lord. So let me read Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. And my heart says to you, Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on the level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This psalm is one of the more notable psalms, bringing comfort and encouragement for centuries. The reason why people relate to the psalms is due to the personal nature of most of the psalms and the emotions connected to them. King David wrote about half of the psalms. I think 75 of the psalms are attributed to him, and a few more might have been his, but when you read through them, you see all the different emotions. David is one of the most relatable biblical characters because he sinned, he made mistakes, he was happy, he was sad, he was deceitful, he was caring, he was cruel, he was compassionate, not the best father, not the best husband. We can relate to him. Now, sometimes we don't like him because we see ourselves too much in his personality. Yet David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God more than anything. He also wanted to do what the Lord wanted of him, and he knew of his shortcomings. David knew his flaws and mistakes. Many psalms are of David crying out to the Lord, asking forgiveness. David knew the Lord loved him. He had confidence in the Lord, and he had doubts. Why? Because he was human, just like us. We go through times of confidence in the Lord, and we go through times of doubt, but we should always go back to the Lord because he never changes. The only doubts that we have are in ourselves. We create those doubts. God is always there. He's always loving, always just, always ready to pick up our broken pieces, to mold us into his image. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, if we are prepared by God, then we should have assurances and confidence in God. And this psalm starts with David's confidence in who God is to him. The Lord is my light, my salvation, and my stronghold. Why did David describe God this way? When we look to God in the same, can we look to God in the same way? Well, first David said that the Lord is my light. There are many references describing the light of God. And this is the only time in the Old Testament that says God is light. During David's time, the phrase would mean joy of life or illumination of the truth. Micah 7 says, "Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication." You see there, the light is of the Lord and reveals Israel's sin and that they needed to turn to the Lord. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word reveals to us the way we should go. Ultimately, the light was Jesus Christ. John 1:5 and then 9, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So, the Lord is my light. He's also my salvation. David knew God was his salvation, his deliverer. In the Hebrew, salvation meant victory and deliverance. David was surrounded by enemies throughout most of his reign as king of Israel. He was confident in the Lord because of his past experiences. God had delivered him from many foes, including Goliath and the bear and the lion and many other kings and countries. And he also protected him from King Saul when King Saul went mad and wanted to kill him. In the next psalm, Psalm 28, verse 8, David wrote that the Lord is the saving refuge of his anointed. And the Lord's anointed always referred to the king of Israel. So the Lord is the saving refuge of his anointed, his king, the earthly king. Thirdly, he looked to God as his stronghold. The Lord is a place of safety and protection. Proverbs 18:10 says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, we are saved. Because of this confidence in the Lord, David had no reason to fear or be afraid. Why? He had past experience to rely on. Verses 2 and 3 list past experiences that are proof that God protects. David said that the evildoers wanted to devour me or eat me up, that they were encamped around me and they made war against me. The combined reality was that his enemies wanted to cause pain and destruction. Yes, it was they who stumbled and fell because of God's protection. This gave David the confidence he needed to know that the Lord was on his side. And John Stott kind of rephrased these verses for our understanding for us today. He said, "The Lord is my light to guide me. He's my salvation to deliver me. And he's the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge." Is the Lord your light and your salvation and your stronghold today? I hope so. Well, what do you desire? If someone asked you what was the desire of your heart, how would you respond? Now, some people would say that they would like to be wealthy enough never to worry about money. Some would say they wanted complete health, no sickness. Some would desire a dream vacation or a dream car or whatever. Usually the answer will be something materialistic. And of course, yeah, I have those answers too. But now if I asked you the same question, but the answer had to concern God, how would you respond? If there was one thing you could ask God, what would it be? Now, the one thing that I ask God every day is for a movement of His Holy Spirit to bring a revival to the people of Killarney, of County Kerry, and all of Ireland. I mean, that's why we're here. If God allowed a revival to break forth, I hope that every existing church that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ will be filled to overflowing and have need for more churches to be built. I pray this will raise up more preachers of the gospel. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful that if Christ waits and has not yet returned, and in 50 years, that people look back at the Great Kerry Revival or the Great Munster Revival that produced tens of thousands of new believers and hundreds of pastors in just as many churches? Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what I pray for. And I also ask God for this church to be growing spiritually, that we would have more people coming to Christ within the church, that Grace Baptist would need and have the funds to build a church, have their own building, to be a lighthouse on the hill, so to speak, for Killarney, for all to see, and for people to come in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. Now, I don't care if it's me or someone after me, only that people are challenged and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are some of my prayers to the Lord. Well, David's request was something that he has always asked. He has asked this, and he will continue to seek, as he says. And it's a three-part request. He says that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all his days, and then to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire or meditate in his temple. Now the first request sounds very similar to Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But there is a difference. Psalm 23 is talking about being with the Lord in heaven forever, while Psalm 27 is saying he wants to dwell with God the rest of his days on earth. He wants to be in the temple. Now we have a few thousand years and some major cultural differences between us and David. Being in church today is not as meaningful as it was for David to be in the temple. I'm not saying it's not meaningful to us, it's just that it was much more meaningful for David to be in the temple than it is for us to be in the church. I'll try to explain it here. I mean, we know that there are two or three, that where two or three are gathered together, the Holy Spirit is there. In fact, we have the Holy Spirit within us because we are the temple. We don't need to go to a church to feel closer to God. But there is a special feeling when the church is together, worshiping together, praying together, reaching out to the community together. In fact, that's what makes a church. It doesn't matter that we meet in this school hall. Other churches are meeting in storefronts or warehouses or the sitting room, front room of a house, or in community centers. It is the people of the church meeting together that is important. But for David, being in the temple was being close to God because of the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant. David didn't just want to be in the Lord's house, but he wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. In Psalm 63:2, David wrote, "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." Now, no, he did not physically see God, but he felt God's presence. Just being there was beholding the beauty of the Lord. Being able to worship and give sacrifice, singing psalms of praise and praying to the Lord was all part of enjoying the beauty of the Lord. Praying, meditating, reading scripture while in the temple would have been the most intimate part of his desire for the Lord. A sweet communion with the Lord, a deep and personal relationship with God is what David desired. Now, why does he want to be in the Lord's presence? He lists the reasons in verse 5. He will hide me in his shelter on the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. He has confidence in the Lord that if he is in the Lord's house, he will be protected. Each reason is a type of protection, being hidden and concealed so that his enemies don't see him. Being lifted high up on a rock so that they cannot reach him. It's like God picking him up and putting high out of reach so the enemy's arrows can't even come close. In Psalm 18, David wrote, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Look at all those. It says, God's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There's 9 references of who the Lord is, just in that verse. In verse 1, he says, the Lord is my strength. And in verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The relationship with the Lord is so important to David. His confidence means that he anticipates victory, and that gives him cause to celebrate. In verse 8, he says that his head is lifted high, meaning he is rejoicing in the Lord's protection. And because of this confidence, he is joyful in his praise and worship of the Lord. The joy comes out of his distress. David was in a desperate situation, and he calls out to the Lord. He knew the Lord would hear him. We do the same. We go through trials and troubles and we cry out to the Lord for help. We know that the Lord will provide, but what happens when help does not come in our timing? Do we lose faith? do we start doubting? These are times we should not doubt, but and it is a time for our faith to grow. That is what happens to David in the second half of the psalm. And some theologians over the centuries think this was two different psalms that were pieced together, but most do not, because David wore his emotions on his sleeves and he had mood swings just as we do. And so we see the evidence of that in this psalm. David goes from being very confident to being in doubt. One of the most difficult times in life to deal with is when a parent gives up on you. Thankfully, I've not lived through that. But I know situations where this happened. Usually in non-Christian homes, unfortunately sometimes in Christian homes. But it doesn't matter. At any rate, the child normally does not turn out well. It's very difficult. One person I know was kicked out of his home at 16. His father was abusive and an alcoholic, while his mother was verbally abusive. Jeff did not turn out well, and he was always in trouble. And at the rate he was going, I'm not sure if he's alive even today. Now that's a drastic example, but it is part of David's prayer. Verse 10 is kind of the key to understanding David's petition in this last half of the psalm. It shows his anxiety. The main portion of the prayer is verses 7 to 9, but then he adds, For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. See, when David prayed for that, what David prayed for is what is desired in our relationship with our parents, to be accepted, to be heard, praying for guidance and for protection. All the things needed for us to develop into a functioning adult. And David admits that he did not get what he is seeking from his parents, but he knows that the Lord will fill the need left by the parents. Our Heavenly Father is more than capable of fulfilling our needs. He is our divine parent who fulfills whatever our earthly parents are lacking. And the first thing is acceptance. We seek acceptance in every relationship, in the marriage relationship, in friendships, in work relationships, work situations. In every relationship, we deal with rejection in some form or another. A husband rejecting a wife rejecting a husband, friends rejecting friends, employer rejecting employee, and the reverse of that. Most of us experience some sort of rejection every day because we are dealing with humans who are sinful. But God does not refuse us. David prayed, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me." He knows from the past experiences that God will not forsake him, but in his weakness, he continues to pray, seeking to God and desiring God's acceptance. Now, Spurgeon said of his relationship with parents, he said, "These dear relations will be the last to desert me. But if the milk of human kindness should dry up even from their breasts, there is a Father who never forgets." Our earthly fathers can and will fail us. My dad is not perfect. I am definitely not perfect. But my Heavenly Father is perfect. And he will take me in. And the second thing that David desired was to be heard. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." As children, we always want to be heard. Children are always tugging at your arm, wanting attention. It's natural. It's part of being accepted. Children talk just to be heard. And parents too often try to tune them out or keep them quiet. Yet our Heavenly Father is never tired of hearing from us. In fact, he desires us to talk to him. God allows a constant stream of communication with him. If no one else will listen, talk to God. Tell him everything. Your dreams, your joys, your fears, your sins, your repentance. Share it all. Give it all to Jesus. And the third thing is that we seek, and David was seeking, is guidance. What are some of the practical things we teach children? We teach them to be aware of their surroundings so that they do not get hurt and that they make wise decisions. Don't touch that, it's hot. We tell them to be careful of the stove and the fireplace. We teach them to be careful crossing streets. We teach them how to relate with other people. We teach them basics of the Bible, Bible stories of the Old Testament, and Jesus and his ministry in the New Testament. We hope they will be godly men and women. But where we lack as parents, the Holy Spirit is the better teacher. David prays, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of the enemies, my enemies." And all of Psalm 119 is seeking guidance, wisdom, and knowledge from the Lord. If that's something you seek, just read Psalm 119. The Lord is our best teacher, and the first verse says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." And then the rest, the next 175 verses, is talking about how to do that. The fourth thing David sought from the Lord was protection. As a child, the most important feeling in the world is the feeling of protection. That is what David was seeking from his heavenly Father. David refers to his many enemies. In the Hebrew, it would actually say watchful antagonists who seek to accuse him and exploit his weaknesses. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? This prayer is not just for physical protection, but it's for spiritual protection. Satan, the great accuser and deceiver, accuses us before God and seeks to exploit our weaknesses. Where is our greatest sin? Satan will attack there. That is where we need to pray for God's protection. As children, we desire our parents to protect us from the bullies of our childhood. And in God the Father, we seek protection from the evil one. Now, can we have confidence in the Lord? We've kind of come full circle. Now, back to, can we have confidence in the Lord? Yes, because he will provide. He does provide. David ends his prayer with the confidence, in the Lord. He says, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Again, David's not speaking about heaven. He's speaking about the here and now. This whole psalm is about the here and now. It's not a psalm about the future time in heaven. David's talking about dealing with issues right now. I need comfort now. You are the Lord of, you are my salvation right now. And we can have confidence in the Lord today, right now. Pray for all that you need for the Lord, all that you desire from him. Not for materialistic things, but for the things that will be, that are eternal. The assurances that you are lacking in life from parents or other people, turn to the Lord and seek his face. Seek his protection. Seek his guidance. Seek the Lord's acceptance. For he will hear your prayers. The Lord will hear your cries. And David ends with one thing to remember. God works in his own timing. His timing is perfect, and he gives what we need, when we need it, and his help is always sufficient. Verse 14 might seem like a warning, but it's more like an encouragement, a prescription. Wait for the Lord. While you're waiting, be strong. Let your heart take courage. And continue to wait for the Lord. So what's the emphasis? It's said there twice. Wait for the Lord. When God's timing does not match ours, what should we do? While we are waiting, continue to be strong, be courageous, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 40 says it was a reminder to Israel that God's timing was perfect for them. So don't be discouraged. God hears you. Wait and listen. So this is what the Lord said to Israel. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. You know, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the encouragement from this psalm is that because God is our salvation, we can have confidence in our prayers. We can have confidence in the Lord. Without our salvation and the redemption of sins, we have nothing. We are lost and without the Lord's guidance and protection. This is the fact that Paul was explaining to the church in Corinth. He's talking about his own prayer life, his own ministry, the issues that he was dealing with. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12, but he, meaning God, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul is showing the confidence he has in the Lord as he waits upon the Lord. So whatever you're dealing with, bring it to the Lord in prayer. The Lord is your salvation. Jesus is your Redeemer and your Savior. In Jesus' name, pray to the God the Father to fulfill the needs that you have and the desires that you seek from the Lord. Expect God to answer your prayers, but also expect Him to respond in His perfect timing. When Christ went to the cross for us, why did it happen during that specific time? Why in that manner? Why not earlier in history or at a different time in history? Because everything was done according to God's perfect timing. So are you ready to give it all to Jesus? Are you ready to seek the Lord's face and give Him your requests? Please do so today. God is ready and He's willing to be your salvation. God is ready and willing to comfort you in every way, each day. Let's pray.